Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says Moscow has started another phase of its assault on Ukraine. The defense ministry in Moscow says missiles and artillery have struck over 1,000 military targets in eastern Ukraine. Civilians have not been spared. And Russia continues its bombardment of the strategic port city of Mariupol, where many fear troops will soon raise the city. In Washington, the Biden administration is expected to send more military aid on top of the $800 million package announced last week. Ben Hodges is the former commanding general of the U.S. Army in Europe. He is now with the Center for European Policy Analysis, and I spoke with him this morning while he was on a visit to Istanbul, Turkey. Now, it looks like Russia is trying to split Ukraine, take its east, separate it from its center and west, and it's focused a lot on port cities in the Azov Sea. The southern port city of Mariupol is in ruins, water, electricity is out, and accounts from inside are devastating. But Ukrainian forces are refusing to surrender, even with an ultimatum from Russia, where Russia says surrender or face elimination. What do you expect will happen in the coming hours or days with Mariupol?
Well, I think people are going to be studying the defenders of Mariupol for decades. What an incredible example of human resolve and determination. But also, what an example of the ineptitude and the pitiful state of the Russian military. I mean, Mariupol should have been one of the first cities to fall when you think of all the advantages the Russians had. Control of the Azov Sea, proximity to all of their forces up in Donbass, in northern part of Donbass, as well as in Crimea. Instead, here we are 8 weeks later, and these incredible people, civilians as well as military, refusing to surrender. So this is a real test of will and as well as skill. Awful lot of Russian forces are tied up around Mariupol right now. So if Mariupol ever does fall, that would release some more troops for the Russians. But that doesn't mean they'll all be fresh and ready to go into a new fight. And of course, it would clean up some of their logistics eventually to be able to move in that region. But I tell you, I think this has highlighted to me, I was looking at one of these famous maps that everybody sees now. And here we are at 8 weeks into the fight since February 24th. Mariupol is still holding out. And Russia has only been able to capture, seize, occupy a sliver of Ukrainian territory. And I think they're at their end of their rope. They don't have tens of thousands of more troops and new stuff coming in. I mean, they're all in. I think we're looking at a Russia that is going to collapse as a state within the next 4 or 5 years.
Collapse as a state.
That's absolutely. We're going to see the breakup of the Russian Federation. I mean, they have not been able to capture or defeat Ukraine. And I think what we're seeing are signs of the sickness inside Russia.
Are the events happening today likely to determine the extent of Moscow's success?
Yeah, I think you're right, Layla. I think this is a decisive part of this conflict. Now, just one point to clarify, you know, the war has been going on for 8 years, since 2014, when they invaded Ukraine, and there was fighting in Donbass, and they've occupied Crimea illegally. But 8 weeks in terms of this latest horrific phase.
But this war went much further.
Yeah. And so the Kremlin has to be very concerned about what's going to happen. I mean, it will be impossible to hide the fact that somewhere between 10, 15,000 Russian soldiers and sailors have been killed. Whatever the exact number is, we'll never know. But it's clearly going to be, you know, upwards of 10,000. And this is going to continue. The Ukrainians are going to continue to make Russia bleed. It will be impossible to hide this from those thousands of Russian families and the rest of the public. Now, interestingly, most of the Russian troops don't come from Moscow or St. Petersburg. So the army is made up of people from the hinterlands and different ethnicities. So the Russian elites, if you will, where it's most visible, they still are not really seeing all this. So we've got a job to do. You know, providing truth to Russians is just as important as providing weapons to Ukrainians. And I think this should be part of our overall effort.
Retired General and former Commander of the U.S. Army in Europe, Ben Hodges, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, Layla, thank you for the privilege.
If you're a business owner, you know these sounds mean sales. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. Whether you're fulfilling orders from your home office or warehouse, Stamps.com helps you stress less about mailing and shipping and spend more time doing what you love most. Listening to ASMR. I mean, growing your business. But as you grow, so does the need for efficiency. Stamps.com simplifies your shipping and mailing process. Import orders from wherever you sell online. Find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times. Instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers. And buy shipping and mailing supplies when you run low. Save time and money on mailing and shipping. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.